There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve. Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Mark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 739, November 5th, 2017. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. I say howdy from Tejas, hola from Mexico, and dasvidaniya from Dr. Marco to the Russian torpedo. And welcome back to F1 Weekly, Mr. Host.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Massa retires again. Ricciardo does not sign, but Verstappen does. And of course, we still love Fernando. Bravo, bravo, bravo. And of course, here at F1 Weekly, we need your contributions to keep this program alive and on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab on the F1Weekly.com front page. And those of you who have contributed, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. We love you. Mass, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm doing very good, sir. A lot of things have happened since our last podcast. Massa has retired again. Who would have thought Brendan Hartley is back in Formula One with Red Bull of all the people? But first of all, I have to say Max Factor was the winning fragrance in Mexico, but Mercedes star was shining bright on the final lap. Our favorite LCH, Lewis Carl Hamilton, is now in the company of only four of the men who have won four or more championships. And going into the summer break, I was convinced it was, and it was looking more and more, that the silver streak of last 3 years will be replaced with a red eye and fifth championship for Sebastian Vettel. But here we are with two races remaining and the championship already decided. Your glowing tribute to LCH, please.
No tributes for me. Mercedes dominated. LCH handed a golden number two lapel pin to Bottas.
Yes, and LCH is now the first British four-time world champion. You know what is amazing? His number of wins is now twice as many as the next successful British driver, which is Arneige. So that's pretty impressive. And to have the same number of championships and as Prost and one more than Ayrton Senna and Jackie Stewart, all of this for a driver whose F1 career is shorter than F1 Weekly's existence is quite an extraordinary achievement. This season, we saw him become the all-time leader in pole positions. Absolutely amazing. Second in number of wins, equally amazing. With the number of races in a season at an all-time high and projected to increase in the next few years, he can match and beat Schumacher's number of Grand Prix wins, 91. If Toto and his troops of the Brackley Brigade continue to give him the high-performance vehicle with the reliability that he has enjoyed. You know, this year he has scored points in every race of the season so far, and I believe he's the only driver who has done so. So this has been a fantastic season for him. And I have to say this, like him or not, his four championships should not surprise anyone, especially host of a world-famous podcast from California, who is familiar with his rookie season in 2007 against a very formidable and double world champion, who is still a double champion, and LCH's quadruple champion. What say you?
Well, I mean, let's face it. You have the right package. You're going to be world champion. I mean, if Fernando had been driving for Mercedes for the past 4 years, he'd be a quadruple champion as well, wouldn't he?
Absolutely, sir. No question about that.
So, you know, let's just say it. he has done a great service to himself by going and leaving McLaren to go to Mercedes at a really good time. Timing and Lady Luck, you know, have a lot to do with all these things. Don't get me wrong. He's a great driver. He's going down as one of the greatest drivers of all time. We know that.
Yes, but, you know, you have to sleep in the futon you make. And the futon he made, no pun intended, after leaving Scuderia has really ruined 3 years of his incredible racing life. But, you know, I have to say, what an amazing talent pool we have seen in the last three decades. Prost, Senna, Schumacher, Alonso, Hamilton, Vettel, and now a 20-year-old who is now a three-time Grand Prix winner. And if there is one driver who's going to be a serious thorn, both for Lewis and Seb, it's Max Verstappen.
I agree. And LCH is, you know, I mean, he's whistling Winn-Dixie Max by saying that, you know, he's the guy that's going to keep me motivated. So I'm sure Bottas loved hearing that.
Yeah, Bottas is now looking more and more like his fellow Finn, Heikki Kovalainen. Good thing is he already has twice as many wins as Kovi. So he's maybe one step ahead, but three steps behind of LCH.
I agree. No, it's interesting. I mean, the championship was over. I knew it was going to be over in the United States simply because LCH continuously dominates. Even after Vettel passed him on the first lap after the hill, I just knew it was just a question of time before LCH went and just...
Yeah, and the Ferrari season just completely fell apart from the start of the, you know, the shock they got. You know, like the song, I Shocked the Monkey? LCH shocked Maranello at Monza. That just put a total voodoo spell on that team.
Yeah, Ferrari really fell apart. Vettel got rattled, let's face it, with the banging of the wheels. And from then, it just went downhill. We'll see what happens after the season is over. Whether Arriva Bene can still make love to Marchione. That's going to be interesting what happens there. Of course, Vettel's supporting Arriva Bene. But you can, if you have any questions, just call Domenicali.
Yeah, and you know, what happened at the start between Seb and Lewis is what I expected between Seb and Max. And we're talking about now the race in Mexico. And there was really no question in my mind that Max was going to push and shove for the lead going to the first corner, as he was trying to do in Singapore. The Lewis move, even though he had clearly passed Seb fair and square, took me back to the first corner of the 2007 Brazilian Grand Prix. Obviously, as a hard-charging top-line driver, he has a problem in following another driver to claim a championship. But sometimes you have to do, you know, sometimes, like they say, you know, sometimes you lose the battle to win the war. And Martin Brundle said during the Sky F1 broadcast that it was not an exciting race, but still very intense, and which is very true. A kablamo for the top two drivers or a full safety car period could have allowed Seb to sneak in a second place finish and keep the dream alive for five, or Cinco de Mayo, as they say in Mexico. But it was not to be. Britain now has 17 Formula One championships won by 10 different drivers, starting with Mike Hawthorn in 1958. Very, very impressive for a country. That's why, if you take the whole size of Britain, is it the size of California or even shorter than that? Smaller than that, I should say.
Yeah, but I mean, the entire F1 paddock is based in Britain.
Yeah, but it's still very impressive, you know. I mean, if it's, you know, like...
I'm not that impressed, Nasser.
I am, if you look at the same thing with Austria, you know, such a small country, and the same thing with Finlandia, you know, very small crowd, very small country, and big, big Grand Prix legends from there. Very impressive.
It's because they have nothing else to do.
Well, in England, they have cricket and soccer and bangers and mash, and I think they do a few other things there.
That's true. Bubbles and squeak.
There you go.
Bravo.
And, of course, my favorite for dessert, Spotted Dick. And that is a thing available there in restaurants. I'm not making this up.
Of course. We know you never make things up. So how was your trip to the United States Grand Prix?
Man, it was fantastic. Second year in a row that I had media credentials, and my thanks, very special, humble, sincere thanks to Mr. Peter Nygaard of Grand Prix Photo for his help in getting media credentials. Another great weekend for Formula One in the U.S. Good crowd all through the race weekend. And he tells me the fishy smell in Denmark could be a street race in the near future. Apparently, the mayor of town, Copenhagen, is behind this. Tilke has been there, and they've pretty much selected the street, you know, area where the race will take place. But it will take at least 2 or 3 years before it happens. But looks like the Danish Grand Prix is coming on the schedule in the near future. A couple of people I know came to the track for the first time and really enjoyed the facility. I will highly recommend a trip to this race. You can park for $20, about half a mile from the track, or a mile, and they provide you free shuttle service. The track is fantastic. You can walk around. It's, you know, if people who are familiar with Brands Hatch, it's pretty much like that kind of a track, but not all that green, but fantastic facilities. It's, you know, a lot of drivers are saying it was one of the best tracks on the circuit now. And have you been there, sir?
Of course. I went to the first race in Austin.
Yeah, I was not there. So you did you like the track?
I liked the track.
And, you know, talk of the race weekend was what happened before the start and what happened at the end. I'm talking about the Ready to Rumble introduction and the penalty on Max Verstappen. What say you, Duke of Dijon?
I don't know about that introduction thing by Big Bob and his rumbling duos. I mean, that was a little awkward. For some people, it was embarrassing. I thought he did a pretty good job in pronouncing everybody's name. I like how he said, "Now the Duke of Dijon himself, Clark, the host of the dominant F1Weekly.com show." You know what I mean?
Oh, wow. Somehow I missed that intro.
It was right at the end.
Some of the drivers like LCH and Max enjoyed the intro. Seb, on the other hand, said it was not his thing. When Liberty Media first took over from Bernie, Chase Carey said, "We are not looking to Americanize F1. I think we will see more of what is known as American razzmatazz in future. I only have one request on this issue. Please, and I repeat, please, no cheerleaders around Parabolica and Eau Rouge. Perhaps on the long Mistral Strait, now that Paul Ricard is back on the schedule, might not be a bad idea to see the new and younger Brigitte Bardot and Catherine Deneuve going, ooh la la."
Well, I thought the cheerleaders from the Dallas Cowboys was a fitting tribute.
Yeah, maybe for the U.S. Grand Prix, but not everywhere.
Of course, we're not going to see that for the Grand Prix in Mumbai.
No, I don't think so. Okay, man, one thing that was very impressive and I was very happy is Carlito is perfecto in Renault debut. Once upon a time, Max Verstappen jumped into Red Bull and won on his debut in Barcelona. Carlos Sainz Jr. debut in Austin with Renault was not that dramatic, but made the decision to ditch joyless Palmer fully justified. The young Matador from Madrid has been pretty impressive in both outings as teammate to Nico Hülkenberg. If he can outrun Nico next season, then the Hulk will be on slippery slope. Were you happy for your beloved Renault?
I was. I was very happy. But, like you know, like you said, we always think back on Nico Hülkenberg. And, you know, he still hasn't had a podium for so much talent. It's really, really hard to understand. I think he's had a good car under him. Hopefully at Renault with Sainz Jr., if Hülkenberg doesn't get a podium in 2018, I mean, I don't even know what to think after always winning in a championship in every formulae. It's stunning.
Yeah, same thing with Romain Grosjean. But I think in the next year or two, Renault will give him a car where he at least he should get a few podiums, if not wins.
Let's hope so.
And talking of Romain Grosjean, well, message to him was shut up and drive. No Rosetta Stone CD required to translate this message between team boss Gunther Steiner and main driver Romain Grosjean. Grosjean and his wife recently published a cooking book, but his constant complaining is a good recipe for overcooking his days at Haas F1. Steiner and Gene Haas are no-nonsense people, and I just hope Romain keeps a cool head. The team has done, I would say, very well since coming into F1 last season. There's always something that's happening where Romain Grosjean is complaining. And it's getting a little too old now.
I agree, especially for such a young team. They've done, I think, an outstanding job in collecting points this year. F1 is tough, and I don't see why Romain Grosjean is bitching so much.
Yeah. Okay, next is the case of the Kiwi kid, Brandon Hartley. What a story this has been. Long gone are days of Red Bull Junior team and the Tom Petty-like long blonde hair. After Porsche announced departure from sports car racing for Formula E, he picked up the phone and called the man who gave him the Grand Prix guillotine some years ago. Yes, the one and only Dr. Marco, who told him he got the message. Pierre Gasly, trying to win the Japanese Super Formula, gave Hartley the opportunity to become the first Kiwi in Grand Prix racing since Mike Tagwell in 1984. And that's a name I remember very well, a red helmet with a T on it. As things have turned out, the torpedo has been torpedoed, and now Gasly and Hartley will race for Toro Rosso in 2018, powered by Honda. By mid-season 2018, we will know who is singing Who's Sorry Now, Zac Brown of Franz Tost. Your thoughts on Hartley making his debut?
To be honest with you, I mean, talk about the Phoenix. I thought he was done for in terms of Formula One for sure 2 years ago. I mean, he's one of the early F1 Weekly children. And to have him get this opportunity, and now he's in for 2018. I mean, I know it's going to be Honda powered, but it might not be that bad. They're looking pretty quick. I know everybody's saying it's the McLaren chassis that's made all the leaps forward in terms of Fernando and qualifying and race pace and what have you. But I'm still stunned that Brandon Hartley has got a seat in Formula One. I mean, it's just shocking while we're getting rid of Felipe Massa, but Robert Kubica has a chance to come back. So anything's possible.
Yeah, and his Hartley's case really shows that if you get dropped, it pays not to burn or bring down bridges.
Very good point. We live by that here at F1 Weekly.
Oh, absolutely, sir. And, you know, talking of Dr. Marco, you know, I was in the paddock area. One has to be very careful who you talk to and how much, you know, hustle you can do there. Anyway, I was there early morning on Sunday because I was told by DC on Saturday I could do an interview with him, and we'll come to that in a few minutes. So I ran into, waited for Dr. Marco, and as soon as he was leaving the Red Bull area, I approached him. And I asked him, you know, I just said to him, you know, I followed your career from your racing days. Can I come to Graz, where he's from, in Austria in July, and do an interview with you for F1 Weekly? All he said to me was, yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to reach him in June by email and see if I show up in Vienna. And I checked with Niki Lauda also. He has, you know, I've met him first time in 1982, Brands Hatch. I've met him several times since then. He's always been very, very friendly and approachable. So he says to me, July, oh, it's too far. So I said, okay, I'll check back with you in June. He said, yeah, that's fine. Okay. He's a pretty cool guy, you know.
Make sure you bring a good bottle of Grüne Veltliner.
Oh, yeah. And do some yodeling before starting the interview.
That's up to you. I'm not going to get into that. I think that's the wrong country. Bravo.
Okay. Now, talking of country, the coverage, TV coverage for U.S. is moving from NBC Sports to ESPN starting next season. Keep in mind, the commercial head honcho of F1 Now, Sean Bratchett, comes from ESPN. And I had a brief chat with Bill Buxton, the pit lane reporter for NBC Sports. I was hoping he would be moving to ESPN like they normally do. But at this time, there are no talks of ESPN having some sort of pre-race show like NBC Sports. And this was pretty much confirmed when I spoke to a gentleman by the name of Nate Saunders, who is F1 Associate Editor for the ESPN website. He is involved on the digital side and said that he and his boss will be spending quite a bit of time in Bristol, Connecticut, the home of ESPN, the Total Sports Network, about what kind of coverage they will have on telly for the U.S. market. My understanding is that they are just going to, which actually is not a bad idea, and I always thought this would be very cool, that they were just going to feed to the U.S. market the Sky TV, so we will get, you know, Martin Brundle and David Croft and all that. And but I think, you know, pre-race show is an important and integral part of F1 race coverage. Let's see how it works out. Just my two pesos on this issue, jumping from network to network and from one track to another every few years is not going to help the cause of F1 in the U.S. On the other hand, Liberty Media is planning live streaming of F1 races, which I think is a very good idea. And apparently this was a big issue with NBC Sports. They did not want, you know, them paying so much money to Formula One and then Formula One selling their own streaming services and taking business from them. So it's all about business and money all the time.
Well, I think Formula One needs their own cable network.
No, it's not going to work here. I mean, we can have a motorsport. We should have a motorsports network like Speed Vision, where, you know, we can get World Endurance races, rallying, Macau Grand Prix, and some other major events, you know. That would be nice.
Yes.
Okay, and the paddock people at Austin, all the usual suspects were there. Jacques Villeneuve, Mark Webber, Martin Brundle, Alain Prost, DC. I was able to sit down and do a 10-minute interview with DC, David Coulthard. As always, you know, he always comes across as a very friendly guy, and he was. We will have to get a transcript of this conversation posted on the F1 Weekly website very soon, as we cannot play them on the podcast due to broadcasting rights. I was able to have a quick chat with Alain Prost, and this is one of those people, you know, like Jackie Stewart. They are very, very high on my bucket list to do an interview because of their age and my age and what they have contributed to the world of motor racing. It would be nice to get their story in their own words on a podcast. And anyway, I asked Alain if I can come to Europe and do an interview next year and something we can do on the podcast. And he says to me, try a Formula E event, because, you know, he goes to all the Formula E event. And I was looking at their schedule. They have a race in March in Mexico City at, you know, Hermanos Rodriguez Autodromo. And that is probably my best chance to go and talk to him. So I'm thinking of, and Mexico City is not a 14-hour flight from here in Tampa, Florida. So I might go, if he's available, which I'll find out probably in February. If he's available, then I'll go for sure.
Maybe we could ask for permission to publish them on the program.
Yeah, that's something that will be discussed later on. That's very much on the agenda. Last year in Austin, I had a conversation with ex-Arrows Grand Prix driver Mark Schurer. I sent him an email and he responded right away. His 15-minute conversation was recorded in the media room. And again, we have to abide by the broadcasting rights and we'll have to post text version on the website. Also, good to meet Miss Sophie Kumpen again, mother of Max Verstappen, obviously a very happy and proud mama. And you know what was interesting? I had a brief chat with Andrew Benson. He is the motorsports Formula One writer for BBC on BBC.com. And I was reading a recent story that he did with Ron Dennis, and he wrote that he heard from his sources that at one time Mercedes were going to go with a McLaren as engine partner, and he approached Ron, and Ron said, who's your source? And he says, I cannot tell you. So then Ron flatly denied that there was something going on with Mercedes, and sure enough, a few weeks later it was announced. A partnership, that is. And he made a comment to me that Ron fell out with all of his top drivers. You think about it, how Senna left, Prost, it was not on the best of terms, you know. So, but still, you know, the man did a lot for motor racing. And as a racing fan, I'm disappointed to see how it ended. But such is life, you know, life goes on and sun comes up the next day.
Yeah, it does come up. That's guaranteed, Nas.
Yes, sir. So shall we take a quick Perrier break and come back with the MN?
Indeed. We'll be back after this brief message.
Honesty is something we all look for, especially when it comes to auto service. Honest Engines Auto Service Tallahassee is where you'll find it. Since 2005, they've been delivering trusted, dependable service to Florida's capital. Honest Engines is your full-service auto repair center. Bumper to bumper, they have you covered. Honest Engines Auto Repair offers a variety of services, transmission repair, oil change service, and much, much more. Don't let just anyone work on your car. Bring it to Honest Engines. They'll give your baby the care it deserves. They work closely with you to make sure you know what's being done. With Honest Engines, you don't have to guess what their team is doing. Their highly experienced and certified technicians know just what your car needs, and they'll make sure you do too. So if you're in the Tallahassee area and you need auto repairs, give Honest Engines a call, 850-421-8461, and tell them F1Weekly.com sent you. Honest Engines Auto Repair, right on the corner, right on the price, 718 Gay Street, Tallahassee.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the King, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir, and Clark. We're going to start where your world starts and ends and stays every day. Nando, he is everywhere these days. Now he will be at Daytona 24 Hours with Zach Brown's United Autosports team. Man is on a mission for the Triple Crown. I think he has a better chance of victory at Indy and Le Mans than championship number three in Formula Uno. What say you?
Well, Mercedes isn't going to start running a third car, so you're correct.
Okay. JB has been replaced by LN. Lando Norris has been announced as test and reserve driver for McLaren, replacing Jenson Button. And just like we sang praises for Bottas and Hülkenberg and Bianchi and Romain Grosjean, Rossi and Gutierrez for many years. We've been doing the same for a few years for Lando Norris. This kid is an amazing racing talent, and I think he's the next El Grande Grand Prix driver from Great Britain. Since coming into single-seater racing in 2015, he has won five championships, all in first attempt. This season, he won the European Formula 3 against far more experienced second- and third-year drivers. Lando will be teammate to Nando at Daytona, and I look forward to doing an interview with him, if not with the El Machismo. The El Machismo, I think, will be darling of the media and the crowd at Daytona. It is amazing what a crowd a big-name driver will bring. Do you remember going to IndyCar races when Mansell was here?
Yeah, so exciting.
It was amazing, the crowd at And, you know, I don't know if you were there when Rubinho tested for the first time at Sears Point in IndyCar racing.
I didn't go, but I remember.
I was there, and wow, it's amazing how many people come out when there is, you know, something to look and admire in terms of success globally. Same thing with Montoya when he was winning all over. Okay, MotoGP from Malaysia. The championship will be decided in the final race in November in Spain, which is this month, of course. Ducati dude Andrea Dovizioso won the race in Sepang, which was the last MotoGP race. And Marc Marquez is still leading the championship for Honda. World Rally Championship, your homeboy, Sebastian Ogier, is the 2017 World Rally Champion after taking third place in Wales Rally GB, driving a Ford Fiesta. Elfyn Evans became the first local driver to win this event, also in a Fiesta. IndyCar Racing News, Ed Jones, rookie of the year this season, is moving to Chip Ganassi's team, and AJ Forge's team has released Connor Daly, so now he is hitchhiking across the USA looking for soul food and a place to race. Okay, now some sad news. Roller Falstead, you may not know this guy, but he was an IndyCar owner for many, many years. He passed away recently at the age of 99. He was from Portland, Oregon, and he is best remembered for giving Janet Guthrie the opportunity to become the first lady driver to race at Indy in 1977. And Jim Clark's last IndyCar race of his life was also in Roller's car at Riverside in 1967. Now we come to my favorite, famous last words. This time goes to Toto Wolff, to LCH on the cool-down lap in Mexico. He said, and I quote, "Not the race we wanted, but who cares?" End of quote. But I do know you do care for LCH, right?
I do not.
Oh, shocking.
Shocking indeed, but it is what it is. Congrats to LCH, and of course, Bottas for being a good number two. And I'm sure he's texting Heikki Kovalainen on those famous words. How does it feel to be a winner? What do you think is going to happen? You know, we're going back to Brazil where Max Verstappen was the dominant factor last year.
In the rain.
In the rain.
A little boy outside in the rain. Yeah, it should be a fun race. And it's going to be, you know, either one of the Red Bull. We know who the Mercedes driver will be and the Ferrari driver will be if they win. And then it's up for grabs between the two Red Bull drivers. But I have to say, last year, overall, Daniel Ricciardo pretty much had Max Verstappen's number. But I think this year the table has been turned.
A little bit. I suppose you're right. Max has definitely turned Formula One to his advantage, really. We expect him, you know, if the Renault package is dominant next year, it's going to be an interesting season, especially for McLaren and Red Bull.
Yeah, but, you know, they're talking so much about their chassis as the best and this and that in the corner. When Nando says something, you have to believe him. He for sure knows what he's talking about. But there were times when they had Mercedes engine, and they did, in the words of David Hobbs, diddly squat.
Yeah, but those were crappy Mercedes engines.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I hate to say this, but Williams has Mercedes engines.
Yeah, but their budget is like less than half of Mercedes' budget. That makes a huge difference, too.
Oh, yeah. Mercedes has the biggest budget in the paddock right now. Let's just face it. They are the new Toyota. The only difference is they're winning.
Yes, they are winning and dominating.
Total domination all across the nation.
Yeah, but, you know, if you look at the history of Grand Prix motor racing for the last 100 years, every time a German company has come on the scene, they have cleaned everybody's clock. You know, it goes back to the days of Auto Union and Bernd Rosemeyer, and then came Mercedes in the 50s.
And then they quit in 55.
And, you know, at one time Porsche got their engine going with the McLaren, the tag Porsche McLaren. And now we have, look how dominant Audi became in sports car racing, and Porsche always has been.
I remember Footworks being powered by Porsche.
Yeah, going nowhere real fast.
That was Cinco.
Yeah, but I mean, these things happen. You know, I mean, look at their IndyCar program. What a joke that was, especially the first few years. But, you know, you're not going to win all the time. But if you can dominate the way Mercedes is doing, or Auto Union did back in the day, I mean, that's what people remember.
Hey, just a few years ago, we were whining and bitching about Red Bull dominating and the finger.
That finger is long gone now, huh?
Well, it comes up every once in a while, but it's a little shaky.
Yeah, but I have to say this. You know, I am disappointed in Sebastian Vettel that when he, I mean, nobody likes to lose, but he can, like what he did in Azerbaijan and this thing in Singapore. And I remember him yelling and bitching about Jean-Éric Vergne in Abu Dhabi 1 year. If you recall that incident when they were on a yellow flag situation. And so I'm kind of disappointed how he has sort of like thrown his frustration out in the public, you know.
Absolutely. And you know what? I give credit to Nico Rosberg for doing a pretty good job in fighting Lewis Hamilton last season and shaking it up a little bit. So maybe we missed that this season.
Yeah, but I think overall this was a fantastic season. The first half, I mean, I was convinced when the summer season started that Sebastian Vettel was going to take the championship.
Yeah, I wasn't. Don't forget, spaghetti culture.
Yes, well, it was the same spaghetti culture when the Red Baron was there.
Yeah, but the spaghetti was left at the door because Ross Brawn didn't allow it to come in.
Yes, very true.
Those were different days and a completely different management. I don't know. I think they need to get more Ross Brawns back into Ferrari, but we'll see what happens. They were close, but hey, they did win in horseshoes once or twice.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, in those days, times were different, rules and regulations. I remember talking to some engineer from Bridgestone at Laguna Seca at the world-famous AMGP race. He was telling me they have three teams in Formula. Ferrari has three Formula One teams. One is the team that goes to all the races. One is their test team. And one is their Bridgestone tire testing team. So when you are testing, and you have your own track right across the street from your factory, all these things added up to help the whole package, you know, but you cannot deny what was achieved. That's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And it was fun to watch Fernando tear it down.
Yeah, that was that race in Imola. And I remember that race was not televised live, so I followed it on my laptop. And even then, how intense it became for me to read this, whatever it is called, moment-by-moment update and texting and updating. But it's a shame for motor racing, you know. that Fernando Alonso made some decisions that put him in Trabant of the day. So he could not. He was still able to show what he is. You know that victory in Spain in Valencia, from 14th on the grid in a street race. I still don't know how he did that.
That's all I have now. Nasser's memories.
Yes. My funniest moment. Monty has to be involved when there's a good laugh. He was talking to some people, and there was a brief opportunity for me to go and talk to him. And here's a guy, you know, who won a tremendous Michigan 500 against Michael Schumacher. He once won the Pau Grand Prix by lapping the whole field. So this is an incredible racing talent. So anyway, I walked up to him, and I said, as quickly as I can, I said, "Hey, I live in Tampa, and you're in Miami. Can I come to Miami and sit down and do an interview with you?" He said, "You cannot come to my house to do an interview." I said, "Not to your house, to your town, you know." He said, "Go through Penske." So he will be at Daytona, so hopefully I can sit down and talk to him. But he's a funny guy. I like him.
Yeah? Did you buy him a hot dog?
No, he was with some people, and there were no hot dogs in the F1 paddock, which was surprising.
Don't worry, Liberty's working on that. Pretty soon, sponsorship by Oscar Mayer.
There you go. Yeah, they should have the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile do a pace lap. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, I passed the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile just a couple of weeks ago on Highway 280.
Wow. They allow that on 280?
Of course.
101 I can understand, but 280 is a fast-moving, by California standard, fast-moving.
It's Mercedes-powered.
Oh, really? Wow.
That's called Wiener Schnitzel. Okay, Nas, I think these people want to go home.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much, and you have a good evening.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody who's listening. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Man, but no one understands him but his woman.
John Jack.